This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Now, we have our next guest in the studio.
We do. Welcome to the studio and, to Sunday Arts Magazine, Joseph Nolan. Thank you for coming in.
My pleasure.
Organist and choral conductor, amongst other things, I'm sure. Now, I did give you a warning. We do go back into time a little bit and go into your history. So, where did it all start for you in terms of music?
Inevitably, the piano at sort of the age of five, you can just picture the usual, you know, the child plonking away on the keys.
Did you enjoy it or were you forced to do it?
No, it was half and half. You know what I mean? You're not quite sure what you're doing at that age.
Yeah.
The seminal moment was when I went to visit a friend at the Royal Northern College of Music in Manchester, and I heard the magnificent Radetzky organ in the concert hall being played. I was about 15 years old.
Right.
And I went, right, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, bugger the piano, give me an organ.
Absolutely. And I sat down at the organ in a local parish church, and I found that I could just coordinate my left hand and the feet completely and utterly naturally. Wow.
Because it looks so complicated, you know, like all the footwork. It's almost like running a marathon in a way, isn't it?
That is the key, actually, in truthfulness, is the coordination. If you cannot naturally coordinate in a subliminals, you know, in the subconscious,
yeah,
because so much of the organ music is so hard to play and so fast, if you're thinking about it, it's never going to happen. So I often like to think, you know, if you've done the preparation work at a really slow tempo, you can then look down on yourself as you play. It's almost like an out-of-body experience.
Yeah, yeah. And it's also pulling, what are they called?
Stops.
You know, like there's all of that as well. You know, like there's so much going on for you, you know, like, and your concentration must be so. But do you get yourself into a mindset when you're playing, you know, and it just comes naturally?
I think, again, it comes back to that key word, preparation. As long as you've done the work, it's actually a marvelous feeling.
Yep.
It's the worst feeling if you haven't done the work. I once wasn't quite prepared when I was younger,
and
I never forget that feeling. Ah, the terror as you, it can never happen again. Yeah. That will teach you forever. Yeah.
Wow.
And you're like studying that, you know, like you can only do it where there's an organ as well. You know, it's not like the piano where you have one at home.
You can't really bring one in your back.
No.
Tricky.
Unless
it's a mouth organ.
On a tray. Hey, boom, boom.
Sorry.
I'll stick to playing music. Sorry.
Can you play a mouth organ?
No.
Oh, what a shame. So, you know, like it's traveling where there's always an organ and the practicing. Was it always the local church where you practice or when you went on to study music?
It is. And, you know, that's about formulating relationships. That's why many people have to become either a church or a cathedral organist. It's really the only way of getting, you know, time on a proper pipe organ.
Yeah.
Of course, you can get the marvelous sort of digital organs now that sound like pipe organs that you can have in your home. So you can just literally fall out of bed, straight onto the organ bench.
And it's like a keyboard.
It looks exactly like the same. Like at Melbourne Town Hall, where I'm practicing sometimes at the moment, it's called Hauptwerk. So they've got the console. It looks exactly like what you're playing. There's no pipes. It's all being digitally reproduced by a computer inside the console.
Wow. Wow. So that wasn't around when you were studying?
No.
So what's it like? You know, like you're very famous around the world now. Congratulations on that. Because
Thank you. But I can't play the mouth organ.
But you can't. Oh, you know, like the interview might as well stop now. You know, like, but, you know, you must be so proud of yourself, what you've achieved with such a difficult instrument per se, as in the learning process and the availability of it.
Look, I am not going to do the, you know, self. What's the word? I'm struggling.
Be humble.
The thing is, you can say, Barry's lucky, but I worked incredibly hard.
Yeah.
Having said that, there is an enormous amount of luck that is involved. If you do not find that person who's going to help you, that first rung, you know, of the ladder into your career,
yep.
there's the luck is huge as well. The talent is not enough.
Yep. And the as you mentioned just a moment ago, is the fact that you end up being an organist at the local church or wherever. So how did it happen that you now travel the world as an organist?
Well, I suppose the first really big break was when I was appointed to the Chapel Royal at St. James's Palace. You know.
Wow.
Of course, it's now His Majesty's Chapels Royal, not Her Majesty's as it was in my time, because unfortunately, of course, the Queen's passed away.
Yeah.
So it's now Charles, who's the King, as we all know. So that really formulated the base of my career. And of course, the name led to a lot of invitations to other places. And then it all sort of spider webs from there, if that sort of makes sense.
Yeah.
You've got to keep working, you've got to keep networking. You can never stop. And, you know, a lot of musicians say, oh, it's so hard, what we do, because our last performance, if it's not good, you know, we won't get the next one. I always think, though, that's true, and that is true, but if you're a surgeon or you're a soldier, I think that's a lot more frightening.
Yep. Oh, yes. Oh, especially.
Because it's the same principle.
Yes.
There's death involved, you know?
Now, with organ, there's organ music per se, and who are the greats in composing organ music?
Well, the real biggie would be Bach.
Mm.
You know, Brahms, Beethoven, you know, they all said he was the finest composer ever lived, and I agree with that.
Yep.
So you've got Bach. Then I think the real Mendelssohn, actually, funnily enough, who we would not know Bach if it was not for Mendelssohn. So Mendelssohn at 20 years old did the first performance of Bach's St. Matthew Passion.
Wow.
Okay, when he was 20.
Wow.
And if he'd not done that, we wouldn't have heard it.
Yeah.
Because Bach's music wasn't, you know, liked or known in his time, you know, or afterwards.
Why was that?
I can't really answer that,
you know,
is the honest answer. You just can't imagine how or why. But now it's just like eternal,
well,
you know?
And also back in the late 60s, 70s, a switched on Bach, the Moog synthesizer came into play. You know, what do you think of that when, you know, classical music is taken to that level?
Oh, look, I would say there's something for everyone would be my answer to that.
Oh, good answer. Very diplomatic. Very diplomatic. So here you are in Melbourne, Melbourne Town Hall. What's the organ like?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, the space is glorious. I mean, Melbourne Town Hall is an incredible space.
Mm.
And the organ's just a monster. But it's such an exciting sound. It's epic. When, you know, people overuse adjectives, don't they? But this one is genuinely epic.
Right. And the fact is that keeping it to that standard is a big job, isn't it? You know, like replacing organ pieces over the many years. So when was the last time that had an overhaul, do you know? Organ.
Actually, I don't. I'm not too sure about the actual history of the organ. I know it's now it's a Shant, so it's an American builder.
Right.
It's seriously impressive and large. I mean, it's up there with the big American organs that you would find if you fly into the major places, matches anywhere.
Yep.
I think people, you know, if they haven't heard an organ before, are just going to be blown out of their seats.
Yeah. And the fact is that the organ at Melbourne Town Hall, you know where it is. You've seen it. We've all seen it when we've gone into Melbourne Town Hall. It's a real feature, isn't it?
Oh, case is just stunning.
Mm.
And it's great that you've got the console up there fixed to the, you know, to the original pipework. And then, of course, you've got the mobile console, which I'll be playing for the concerts on the floor.
Yep.
So, and even better, they really know what they're doing at the Town Hall. There'll be big screens so people can see my hands and my feet, on different screens.
Yeah.
So everyone has a great view of what's going on.
Wow. That's a really interesting way to see it.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen it like that before. No,
yeah.
That's amazing.
Now, what are you playing? Because, I mean, say, this is pretty impressive, isn't it?
Well, you asked me about the major composers, so very quickly, Bach, then sort of Mendelssohn a bit in between.
Yep.
His output's not amazing for the organ, but definitely then Vidor. He was you've heard his Toccata at the Royal Weddings a million times, or your listeners will go, oh, I recognise that if they haven't, not quite sure what I'm talking about. So Vidor with the organ builder Kavaya Kol, like the Rolls-Royce organ builder of his time. They really put the organ back on the map after the revolution, after the French Revolution. And then Vienne, who was Vidor's pupil. He was the organist at Notre Dame Cathedral for 37 years.
Whoa.
He was blind. and he died on the console of Notre Dame, pressing low E in his 1,750th concert of a heart attack, with his pupil de Roufflet next to him. Actually, I have a lovely story. I was rehearsing yesterday in Melbourne Town Hall.
Yeah.
And practicing the end, of course, ready for the series, which is what I'm playing. I'll come to it. But there was a Achilles company, or not company, or a group of people. And Ben came in with his guide, who's blind. You know, he was doing a tour of Melbourne Town Hall. And he just, when I told him that it was a blind composer, he had never heard the organ before, and he just lay on the floor crying with emotion.
Whoa.
Feeling the the sound coming up through the floor. Yep. I've never seen or experienced. It was truly like a really spiritual moment, actually.
Yeah. But that would happen to you a lot. Not in that case, but the sound of the organ, the feel of it, it's powerful, isn't it? It's a powerful instrument.
Oh, yeah, many people say they actually feel it rather than they hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, especially with orchestras. If you're playing with orchestras, it comes up underneath the orchestra, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it would. I could imagine that. Okay, so tell us more about these series of concerts that you're doing.
So, yes, I'm playing all of Vienne's six symphonies. Mm. So even to hear one of them all the way through is unusual. To hear all six of them in 5 days is very rare.
Yeah.
So it's really powerful, cinematic, epic music. Vienne being blind, almost, you know, a bit deaf as well, actually. The music takes on a new power when those sensitivities are taken away, and it's coming through a different process, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So people are in for, it's music that's just going to really blow them away or really charm them. There's little movements called scherzos, for example, and because he loved the building at Notre Dame so much, they're supposed to represent the gargoyles coming to life and springing their way around the cathedral.
Wow. So how did this come about? You know, like, you got the invitation, and it would have been planned well in advance because you're a busy person. How important is it for you to be able to play this entire piece, over a time in one city, in one building?
It's really exciting. And as I've already said, really, only a place like Melbourne, it'd have to be a major, Melbourne, Berlin, Vienna, a major cultural city to put something like this on and sell it. And I think get the interest as well. I understand from the city of Melbourne, there's been a huge amount of interest in the series.
Oh, there would be. Yeah.
And I think that's well done, Melbourne.
Yeah. Well done you, because they're coming to hear you play and your reputation alone. And just all the imagery that we've seen, the publicity, and a lot of that would be, what we're going to be able to see, as you said, the screens with watching your
hands. You'll see everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. A bit, not everything, isn't that exciting that we've moved, technology has moved to make it more exciting for your performance.
Technology can be good.
Can be good. All right. So when are you performing? Do you know, or do you want us to help you with this?
Oh, I know my first concert is 1 o'clock on Tuesday. Am I right?
Tuesday the 18th.
Yes. And then if you can continue for me there, because I'm a little bit jet lagged.
Well, it runs to the 28th and of July. And of course, you go to Melbourne Town Hall to find out all the details, as simple as all that. What's it like flying? You said a little bit jet lag. What's it like, flying in and then all of a sudden, I've got to start focusing. Mm-hmm. Like, jet lag can't get in the way.
You just got to do it.
You just got to do it.
There's no choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you love the love of doing it as well. I can tell, just the way you've been talking, that the excitement level of doing this. And it's wonderful that you're here in our city as well.
Yeah, I love Melbourne. Great city. Really, it's fabulous. Yeah.
Well, thank you for being here.
And
thank
my pleasure.
You for presenting this wonderful series of music.
Thanks for having me.
Big pleasure. Thank you to Joseph Nolan, organist. You can check out his performance, 18th to the 28th of July. You're listening to Sunday Arts Magazine on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.